Every morning, his mercies are new. He has something amazing that he has stored up and placed just in the right time frame and place where he knows you will be at certain junctures in your life in order to discover certain things. And again, I'm amazed at how often that happens for many young kids, teens, young adults, when they're out at camp, summer camp. It's because time is set aside for discovery more about who God is and their relationship. But you know something? That can happen for each and every one of us every day. He has things for us to find every day. So, treasures hidden, waiting to be found. What kind of treasures have you found already? What kind of things, if we can have that slide on the screen, what kinds of things have we found already, have you found? Things that you look at in your own life. I'm not talking about possessions. I'm not talking about hard assets. I'm talking about things that have somehow found their way into your heart, into your soul, where you know that God himself, in his carefulness, placed things there for you. And you treasure those things. Experiences, revelations, amazing times of just being in his presence. Sometimes it's just simply taking the moment that's in front of you and glancing at something that seems to catch your eye, and you recognize it as one of God's amazing handiworks, and you're in awe. They come in moments, or sometimes they come in long, long times. Is this how you view your Heavenly Father? That he has tucked things away for you to discover day after day? Hebrews 11, chapter 6 says this for us. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, in this little story of that we saw on the screen, the little girl, she had her dad there and he had prepared that little treat for her, that little treasure for her. I can imagine that he was just waiting for the day that he felt it would be appropriate. 6 years he waited for that moment. And then she went on the treasure hunt when she realized that there was something waiting for her. And she sought it out, and he helped her. He set it all up in the first place, and he made sure that she was at the right place at the right time, helped her understand the map and where it led and what real treasure is really all about. We know that costume, jewelry, and little trinkets aren't real treasures, but they are when they're given to a little 6-year-old girl who sees something for the first time and realizes this was placed there and I can find it. God has far more than little trinkets for us. God desires for his people to be actively seeking him, moment by moment, day by day. Seeking him. That's a verb, that's an activity, that's an action. It's not scrambling. It's not being frantic. But it's day after day knowing that God can be found in any and every situation, circumstance. God is there. God rewards those who sincerely seek him. And sometimes we think the rewards, when we think of the word reward, we so often translate that into material possessions and earthly wealth. It may be part of that, but I think it goes way, way, way beyond that, especially when we're going to find out what God has disclosed for us already in the scriptures in a few moments. But he does reward those who sincerely seek him. We know that finding Christ is not on a merit basis. It's not on how good we are. how smart we are, how fast we are, whether we're the first and the strongest and the brightest. But he simply rewards those who earnestly, sincerely seek him. Here's one of the other clues. Seek him. Seek him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Right? And we will be rewarded. In the midst of trials and tribulations and sufferings. And that's what the New Testament tells us. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, it says, "Listen to me, Asa," he shouted. "Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you." Is God playing hide and seek? No. He's not playing hide and seek. Sometimes we feel that he is. Sometimes it seems that God is really elusive. "God, where are you? I've called out to you before. I've asked you questions. You don't seem to be answering me." But we forget that in all of these great promises in Scripture, you can almost always count on the fact that either before that promise or right after that promise, there are little clauses that need to be looked at carefully, just as in this passage. "But if you abandon him, he will abandon you." If you run away from God, the rich young ruler who asked Jesus, "What do I have to do for salvation?" And Jesus had that great conversation with him. And in that particular case, it wasn't so much as God would reward him with more stuff, because that guy had more wealth and riches and stuff than he ever would need. And yet Jesus said to him, "Go sell it all and give it away to the poor, then come follow me." And it says that he went away sad because he had great wealth. And it said that Jesus had concern for him, but he didn't chase him. He didn't chase him down and say, "Okay, just half, just give away half. You can keep the other half, just..." No. When we run away from God, he lets us make that distance, even though he is always right there. Always. Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day, and God comes in after they had made their choice to abandon God's ideals for them and make their own choices. "Adam, where are you?" God knew plain well where they were. But they were hiding. They were playing hide and seek. They were being elusive because there was guilt on their conscience. Sometimes it seems as though God is very far away, and sometimes it's because we've taken the steps to remove ourselves from his presence. But it's not always the case. Sometimes it seems as though God is very far away, and it's not because of any sin we've committed in our life, but it's simply because we're going through things in life and God just isn't saying much, and it doesn't seem as though he's saying much or doing much, but he's just basically telling us, "Stay the course. I haven't told you anything different. Keep being obedient to what I've asked you to do. Don't deviate from that. And I'm always with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you." There are times when we've been obeying the Lord, we've been serving the Lord, and I know that there are times when people have given their lives, not to the point of physical death, but they've given themselves in ministry to the Lord. Maybe they have sold everything, and maybe they have moved to faraway countries, and maybe they have left friends and family at home, and they've gone to the utter ends of the earth, and they've given up everything, and they have poured themselves out. And sometimes it just doesn't seem like that reward is very close at all. Where's God? He seems far away. My gas tank is getting empty. God, have I made the wrong choice? Did I make a mistake? Did I mishear you? If that's the case for you, you're in good company. John the Baptist went through the same thing. In the scriptures, we find that John the Baptist was a very unusual prophet. He was an amazing servant of God, dedicated his life to serving God. And he was the forerunner of Jesus. He came to make the way for the Lord Jesus, for the Messiah. And it wasn't good for him in some ways. Sometimes when we say yes to God and we do exactly what we believe has been prescribed, we suffer because of it. We have to look at the reality sometimes. And this was so for John the Baptist. He confronted evil and was put in prison. And it wasn't too long before his head would literally be taken from him. In Luke 7, 18 to 23, it says, well, we know that the situation where John had sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the Messiah or should we keep looking for someone else? Have I made a mistake? I'm in prison. It's cold. I'm hungry. I thought there was a new era coming here. I seem isolated. I don't know what's going on. I've poured myself out. And here I sit, broke, alone. And frankly, in my times of aloneness and darkness at night, I shake like a leaf. And maybe you've had those experiences. I wonder what Jesus was thinking when he heard those words. I think he felt John's concern. I think he knew exactly what John was going through. He didn't run to John's aid. He didn't go and confront Herod. He didn't go and do those things that would have made it much easier for John to be in prison or to get some activists together to get him out of prison. He didn't do that. But I think he felt very deeply for what John was going through. And so he said these words, tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. The good news is preached to the poor. God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Despite what may be happening to you right now, God is still good. We cannot make our circumstances and present experiences, or lack thereof, the authority for interpreting the Word of God. We might say sometimes, well, I've been praying and praying and praying for this to occur, and it hasn't happened. Therefore, God doesn't answer that kind of prayer. That's not truth. That's simply our circumstance being held out. Truth is the Word of God. The Word of God also tells us that sometimes we will suffer. Sometimes we will go without. Sometimes we will have more than we can imagine in this present life. Paul said, I've learned contentment in whatever circumstances I'm in. And Paul had times when he was flush with cash and times when he had no gas in the tank. And yet, he knew where he stood with the Creator of heaven, and he knew that that was enough. That was enough. Colossians 1, 25 to chapter 2, verse 10. Let me read through these verses. I just put a couple of thoughts on the next screen, but let me read these for you. It says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see where Paul's going with this. I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. There are some things there for you. You need to rediscover again today. I need to rediscover again today. If you're in a situation where you feel that there's a lack in your life, and we all have those times from time to time, I want to tell you today, you are complete. You are complete in Jesus. You are not lacking anything in Jesus. He is all there. We just haven't discovered all of him yet. And he wants to disclose more and more and more of himself to you as you actively seek him. And sometimes it's going to mean putting on the blinders and not letting all the other stuff in the world crowd in and crowd in and crowd in. Pursuing Christ, even in our work, in all of our relationships and so on and so forth, that he be revealed should be top priority, can be top priority for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. See, part of this is that Christ wants to unfold his treasure, which is himself, to the world around us. And guess what? Sometimes that means that he wants to unfold you to those around you because you also are a treasure. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in me. We are examples. But of what? Are we really examples of the treasure that has been laid out for us in Christ Jesus? In the prayer time, one of the prayer times before the service this morning, one of the gentlemen said, you know, he was thinking of that chorus that we used to sing a lot. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors and sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out from me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Is that evident in our lives? Is that what's springing up from us as we go through the week? That's why it's so important for us to suppress gossip when that wants to spring up from within us. That's why it's so important for us to suppress negative talking and destructive talking about other people when that tendency is still there, because we are still in the flesh. Those things need to be squashed and put aside and deleted. I've got a river of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. God is a treasure beyond all imagination. And we find that treasure in the life of Jesus Christ. He's the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. That's the work of Jesus, the scripture says. Treasure, unbelievable treasure. Do people see in you that river of life springing up? You know something? It's already there. In Christ, it's already there. And you may say, well, I haven't experienced some of those things before. I haven't experienced the fullness of the Spirit in every way that I've read about or seen in other people's lives. That's okay. Today's another day. Tomorrow's another day. And every day is going to be an opportunity for you to experience the fullness of the Spirit in whatever way the Spirit of Christ deems necessary from His perspective to unfold to you each day. I don't know how many of you grew up in a farm where there was a well. We got our drinking water from a well on the adjoining property to ours. It was the sweetest, coldest water. It was beautiful. So every once in a while, we would go to that well, and we would take our big containers of water and fill it up. But, you know, we didn't just go there and push a button and the pump would pump it in. You know what we had to do? We had to bring some water along with us. We had to prime the pump, right? And so we'd pour some water down the well, and then we'd just start cranking that thing like crazy, that handle, and eventually the water would come. The suction would start coming, and the water would draw, and out would come that amazing, amazing water. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you possess the Holy Spirit of God within your lives. You possess the fullness of God within your lives now. We need to prime that pump. And it's not just a bunch of human activity. It's just doing the things that we already know that have been revealed to us that we are supposed to be doing. Abide in the vine. Don't wander off. Stay close. Keep the Word of God current and fresh. Keep seeking the Lord. Seek Him, seek Him, seek Him. Be open to what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life and tell you and reveal to you and how He wants to use you. You see, when we begin to say, well, that's not for me and that's not for me, guess what? Those things are not likely to happen in your life. That's self-fulfilling prophecy. You're priming a different kind of a pump there. If you want to experience the joy of the Lord on a continual basis, then we've got to be looking for that joy day by day because it's there. Even in the midst of really difficult circumstances. John 4, verse 10 says, when he was talking to the woman beside the well, speaking of priming the pump, it says that Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God had for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. I love it when I hear God's people say, I am so hungry for more of God. I am so thirsty for more of God. You know something? God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. You will be rewarded. You will experience more of His presence. But part of that is being happy and satisfied with where you are right now, in the sense that you are grateful for what God has already done in your life, and you are acknowledging it and saying thank you, God, every day. But sometimes people get into that sense of almost begging God. Are we asking for the right things if we think that we're just not being satisfied? Are we truly asking for the right things? Or are we looking for things in the same way, or is our expectation kind of off? I was at a conference one time where Amazing things were happening. This was quite a few years ago. Man alive, people were getting healed and set free, delivered. People's eyesight was being restored. Somebody started growing a brand new set of teeth. The presence of God was thick. But in the midst of that, there was a guy that would go out into the aisle, and he would get on his knees, and he would be bobbing up and down, begging God, I want the same thing, I want the same thing, I want the same thing. And I thought to myself, who is this guy? He's really distracting. As it ended up happening, I met up with some people that I knew, and we ended up going to their hotel suite during a break. That guy happened to be part and parcel with the group, and we got talking. And as I spoke with him, he told me about he had come to this conference. There was one particular gift of the Spirit he was after, and he was not going home till he got it. And God had better come through before the end of the conference. I thought, chill, buddy. Chill. God is a gracious giver. And as I look back on it now, maybe the way you were asking was a little bit presumptuous of our gracious and kind, loving Heavenly Father. Maybe He will give it to you, but you're making everybody around you pretty anxious. You're looking like a really spoiled, rotten person with a bad attitude. And that sounds really judgmental from me right now. But it's like, God, yes, I desire all you've got. Just turn the tap. Let it come. Let it come. But here's the other side of it. So often we want the great experiences, but we haven't shown yet the maturity in life to deal with what God will give us. Because there is responsibility when God bestows His gifts on His kids. That's why it's not usually a good idea for teenagers to be given for their birthdays very, very expensive sports cars when they've barely got their driver's license. They don't know how to handle it yet, and they're likely to have a wreck. But as we grow in maturity with Christ, He just desires to show Himself to us and to give everything to us that our hearts desire. But part of that is that as we grow in maturity, our hearts become more and more one with the Father's heart. And then the things we're asking for are absolutely in tandem with who the Father is. And He's ready to just give it to us. That young dad waited 6 years to gift that little girl with that cool experience. God has other things in store for each one of us as we go through life. And He's just dying, so to speak, waiting to unfold things. Let's have the right attitude, the desire, and to continue to seek Him. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things He planned for us long ago." Good works prepared in advance. He's placed those things for us. Our job is to be faithful and obedient, and we will step right into those things. Part of receiving the gifts and the promises of God is so that we can be involved in His purposes. To be fully armed, fully equipped at each juncture to be able to accomplish the things that He has for us to do. And they're always significant for God's kingdom's sake. There's no tiny little thing that's insignificant in God's sight. Everything that He asks of any of us is absolutely essential and important. If you were waiting for the big thing that God has prepared for you, but not paying attention to the things you know you ought to do the big thing will remain a mystery for a long, long, long time. Or we will try and force it. And we see so often in church life where people try and force themselves into a situation to apprehend something that they believe is rightfully theirs. And it may come at some time, but maybe that's not the right juncture yet. Maybe there's a little maturing yet to take place. Pay attention to all God has made with wonder and gratitude. Take notice of what God is doing around you and enter into each other's joy. You know, just like the grandma and the mom who were anticipating the joy on the little girl's face, and they were watching and they enjoyed that process of discovery that the little girl had. That's how we're supposed to be when other believers in Christ experience some amazing things in God. We take notice and we jump in and celebrate with them. We say, "This is good. I'm so happy that God revealed himself to you in this way. I'm so glad that you were called to lead in this way or to minister in this way. That is so good. What a wonderful thing." You know, the last two nights, my sleep has been interrupted. And I don't think God was trying to tell me anything these two nights. But it was because there was a party or something going on just down the street. And I heard lots of hoopla. And I don't know what it is about the shrill cackling of a lady's voice at 3 a.m. that wakes me up. But the second night in a row, I thought, and I got thinking, I could lay here in bed and just get steamed. But God has taught me when you wake up in the night and there's stuff bugging you, just start talking to me. Just talk to me. Obviously, they were having a party, and they were having fun. And so I said, "Lord, I'm glad people in the community are having fun. It sounds like there's a propellant that is helping them have some of that fun. And if they are imbibing in that propellant, I pray that they will not get behind the wheel of a car and drive home. Keep them safe, Lord. And even in the midst of their revelry, I pray that somehow your goodness would just be shown to them, that you know them. And besides, Lord, it sounds like a fun party, and I'd rather be there with them laughing than right now in bed, wide awake." Even in that moment, I thought, can I enter into their joy in the middle of the night when I'm being woken up? That's maybe a bit of a leap. But sometimes we act strangely with other believers when they're experiencing successes at the goodness of God. There's jealousy that comes up. I worked with a person for a while, and every time something good happened to someone else, it was never, "Hey, that's amazing, that's great." Every time it was, "Well, how come that never happens to me? I did the same thing, and that didn't happen to me." Just knock it off and enter into their joy already. Just enjoy their success. Sharon, would you come to the piano? As we close this morning, you know, I'm just reminded of these treasures that God has for us. God has things for you that he's waiting to unfold. He doesn't give to us negative stuff. He doesn't give to us things that cause us the absence of peace and unrest. He doesn't give to us bad gifts. Like the scripture says, the Heavenly Father gives us good gifts. He won't give a snake or a stone. You know, sometimes we as dads, we might do that just to rattle our kids a little bit and have a chuckle. But a really good father knows the difference between when it's time to joke around with someone and when it's time to just put those things aside and bring out the really good gifts. If you've had some things that you've thought were from God that ended up being really, really negative, those weren't gifts from God. That wasn't a treasure that was being held for a special time. The enemy can distract us in so many ways. And we know that even in the midst of that stuff, God can take that and turn it into an absolutely wonderful gift. He'll transform it into something rare and beautiful. But each and every day, despite the challenges and difficulties that we might be facing, we just have to remind ourselves that God is good. Really, 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 really good. I can say thank you to God when I'm feeling sick and burnt out and lonely and afraid. When I think I might die, I can say thank you, God, for the life that you've given to me. And God, if you give me tomorrow, I'm going to thank you and I'm going to choose you to live my life with gratitude because you're good and you're going to have some amazing surprises tomorrow. Can we stand together? Let's put this song on the screen and let's sing this in closing. Wonderful, so wonderful. Is God wonderful to you today? Has he blessed you today? As you go to your restaurants or to your home, whether you're with other people or whether you're alone, talk with people. Tell them about the amazing gifts that God has brought out for you, that you've experienced in life, the things he's shown you, the surprises he's held out for you, the blessings that he's given to you. Encourage each other with those things and put the negativity away. Put the discouraging words away and bring out words of life because you have the Creator living within you. You have life of heaven living within you. And he wants to bring that out and he wants to make you to be one of those treasures that someone else can see, that they'll look at your life and they'll say, God is good. Oh, I need what that person has. I need that hope. I need that peace. I need that joy. And maybe here this morning, you're someone who has said, I don't know this Jesus. I've heard a little bit about him, but I'd like to find out more. If that's you this morning, while we're singing this song, you feel free to come up to the front. And someone's going to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. And if you just need to come to the front this morning to the altar, and maybe there's something you've forgotten to say thank you to God for, one of his gifts and blessings, you can do that. Just come up here. If you have a need, something on your heart this morning, feel free to come. If nobody comes, that's great. But the place is open for you to spend some time. Let's sing together.